Well, good morning to you all, and a welcome to our service this morning, and a welcome back to the Reverend Bill Ross, who will be conducting worship for us this morning. It is a communion service. Two things I want to say about that. The first is, for the sake of any visitors, that we use unfermented grape juice and gluten-free bread. The second thing is that some of you may have noticed a slight change down at the front of the church today, because we have imported the communion table from St. Margaret's Hall in Urquhart, where it is never used, and we've not disposed of the communion table that was here before. It's sitting there at the back, and maybe for a trial period we'll go with this and then make a final decision some point further down the line. One of the reasons that we have decided to do that is that we're going to be using St. Margaret's Hall for the Life Explored course, and actually, there was kind of superfluous furniture in it, so we decided to try and make it a wee bit more user-friendly and fit for purpose. But that just leads me naturally on to say about the Life Explored course. Starting next Sunday evening at 7:15, these flyers are still at the back of the church, and if you haven't taken one and you want to find out more about it, please do. And also at the back of the church is a sheet on which we would ask you, if you're interested in coming, to sign your name. Now, it doesn't mean that you're absolutely committed to doing it, but it just helps those who are organising the Life Explored course to have an idea of how many they might expect, not least so that we make sure there's sufficient coffee and cake for you at 7:15, which is how we start it off on each evening. But I'd like to commend the Life Explored course to you. And even better than coming along yourself is to come along yourself and bring a friend with you. It's designed to help people who have a faith to explore their faith more fully, and it's also designed to help people who've not got a Christian faith to find out more about what it is that God offers us through Jesus.
Oh,
connect this morning. We were thinking of the story of David and Goliath, and a thought was brought to us, which was this: sometimes God sends us a Goliath so that we can find the David within ourselves. And it immediately struck me that perhaps the vacancy is such a thing. We are faced with all kinds of challenges when we're without a minister, but we have been finding that there are things that we can do and initiate and talents that we can use, and perhaps God is helping us through this time of vacancy to use these talents perhaps more effectively than we've done before. The other big message in the David and Goliath story was the thing that David said before he went out to meet Goliath. The confidence that he had was that the battle is the Lord's. It wasn't just the Israelites and the Philistines. It wasn't simply David and Goliath. It was the fact that God was with David. So with that thought and with that confidence, let's bring our prayer for the future of the church. Father, we do face challenges, and we do at times feel the lack of a minister at the helm, and yet we thank you for those who are supporting us and helping us through this time of vacancy. And we ask that as our feelings and our confidence comes and goes, that you would help us to remember that this is your church and you've promised to build it. And so we bring to you things that are starting, initiatives that we've decided to undertake, and particularly we pray for the Life Explored course. We pray for those who will be leading it, we pray for those who will come along to it, and ask that together as we explore the various aspects of your character, that you would help us to learn more about you and help us to learn to trust you more and help us to exercise our faith in you more. We ask that you would use this as a means of helping us to grow in our church. And as we look forward, Father, whether our vacancy is long or short, whether we are one of the fortunate churches that managed to secure a minister for ourselves, or whether we're one of the many who will have to learn to live without a minister, we ask that you would help us to live in the confidence and not to lose sight of the fact that this is your church and that the battle is the Lord's, and help us faithfully in that confidence to serve you as we need to and as you call us to. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
first Bible passage today is from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 9. And if you want to follow it in the Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 740. Isaiah 53, and starting at the beginning. Let us hear the word of God. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his words we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And our passage from the New Testament is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 29. And if you want to follow it in the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 1152. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and starting at verse 17. The Lord's Supper. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the access which we have to every day of our life. And so as we come before you today and open your word, we ask that you would open our ears and our hearts. Like farmers who've waited for the summer and waited for the rain, we wait for your coming again, Lord. We long for it like travelers seeking shelter, as disciples look for answers, we prepare for your coming. Lord, we know that somewhere in the world, there's a man or a woman who you've set aside to be the shepherd of this flock. And we ask that you would help us to pray them in, that you would open their eyes and help them to see where they need to come. You are the God of every nation, and you alone have done marvelous things. It was you who saw the darkness at the very beginning of time. You spoke and brought forth light. It was you who are the light of the world. And so as we gather around your table today, in memory of this very precious feast, we ask that you would take the things we do and bring them before you, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the first time I've celebrated communion with you, and because we've come to celebrate a sacrament, or as some know it as the communion or the Lord's Supper, whichever you call it, that's why we've come today. The need for fellowship has joined us together around the world. But it's been commented by many people that we're living in an era that is threatened with the extinction of the sacraments. And when you look around you in some quarters, that could well be correct. In other areas, it would appear that the celebration of the sacraments are on the increase, as we think of the house church or fellowships. But having said that, there's a genuine feeling amongst many more Christians that the sacraments are becoming a thing which less and less people seem to know what is exactly going on when we take part. And so for many, sadly, it's become a ritual rather than a reality. I went to university and at St. Andrews, and in my first year we had an American student from Texas who had the boots on and the big cowboy hat. And I don't know if it's because they're a young nation that they seem to want to use big words. And so he said to me, "Are you Orthodox, premillennial, charismatic?" And if I'd said yes, he would have shouted, "Praise the Lord, Bill believes what I believe," when in fact, I'd no idea what he was talking about. So I said to him, "Well, I don't know if I'm charismatic, hoovermatic, or instamatic. I just believe in the old black Bible that's sitting in my mother's house." So it does us good now and again to take the cornerstones of our faith, strip them down, examine them very closely, and really know what we're about. And that's what I'd like to do today with you, the sacrament of communion, and what it really means when we use the language that we're using today as we partake in this spiritual meal together. What does a sacrament mean? Well, one of the roots of the word was sacramentum, which was used when two parties came to court. Each deposited sheep or an ox or a cow or whatever. The one who won took the lot, and the one who lost the lot. So it was felt that it was used as that pledge, as that deposit. The things that were taken were then taken to the temple, to the tabernacle. So it was in a sense a pledge. It had another meaning. It means a promise, but not just an ordinary promise. The military promise was the oath of allegiance by every Roman soldier when they joined the Roman army. That gave the soldier the right to fight and to kill. And it was only the one who'd taken such a pledge who would not be guilty of murder. So by his oath, a soldier swore that the safety of the emperor was the most important thing in their life, more important than family or wife or indeed his own life. So we can see from a very early time in history, the sacrament was a complete promise, absolute, total, if need be, sacramental loyalty. Now, we may not use that word in that way today, but if we know the history as we approach it, then we get the idea in our head and we should have no difficulty in understanding its meaning. Augustine, that great thinker of the early church, said it was a sign. Sacraments were connected with things divine. In Latin, a simonion in Greek. The miracles of Christ were signs. They revealed something of the nature and the character of the person who did them, mainly Christ. So a sacrament then, in that sense, was something very ordinary, very everyday, but it had a meaning far beyond itself. There is nothing mysterious or deeply theological that's built into everyday life. As you sit home, as you go home and you sit and you have a cup, look around your house and look and see how many things are on your mantelpiece, which when you're gone, others will look at and throw in the bin because they're totally and utterly useless. But you would not part with any one of them for all the money in the world. Why? Because each has a story. The brownie camp, the BB camp, the holidays, all utterly useless to other people, but priceless to you, because they were given to you in love. The actual money wealth of them is minuscule, and yet you wouldn't change one of them. You close your eyes and you remember each detail. Darling, I've always wanted a big green frog to sit on the mantelpiece. Thank you. They remind you of someone close to you. So that is how we should be when we take the sacrament in our hand and in our mouth. It's something more than just a little bit of bread or a minuscule sip of wine. They have something that takes us and reaches far beyond time itself. If it's going through your mind when you partake of the sacrament, then there will never be a chance of these things fading and being diminished. So a sacrament then is a mystery, but not an Agatha Christie whodunit type of thing. There's nothing complex, complicated, after you've been instructed, when you know what's happening. But try to think what it would be like if you were a stranger or a child or someone from another society or community understanding the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. One of the charges of the early church was they eat humans, they drink blood because they weren't understanding. It's just too big. Obscure, almost benign. Yet when you know and have been told, it's a thing of beauty and grace, because it's one of the highest Christian experiences we can partake of together. So can you see with a clear instruction before you come to the Lord's table, everything would be meaningless and just disintegrate into a formal ritual, or worse, a superstition. A teaching ministry and a sacramental ministry have to go together. And it may well be one of the church's weaknesses lies in the failure to exercise to the full the teaching element. There is no doubt that in the 21st century mind, a stranger would have been in the first century, in the ancient world, would have understood immediately. The Jews had the Passover meal. And part of that is the son says to the father, why are we doing these things? And he says to him, a wandering Aramean was my father. And he goes through the history. So it's an everyday environment. The Greeks had their mystery play, where the person being instructed was deliberately brought by the play to a point where they could identify with the God in the play. So the Lord's Supper was started in an age when there was nothing magical in them. But it runs into difficulty. What do they really mean? Is the bread and wine, by some mystical change, taking place in them? Do we need to take this literally or physically? The words used in the Lord's Supper are things which we're not sure of anymore, because there's a certain vagueness in the exact meaning of what is exactly happening. What are we supposed to see when we take the bread and we take the wine? We see what the rest of the world would see: bread and wine. But because we've been taught and instructed, we think about the pledge, the promise, the oath of allegiance, the sign. You know, it's like when you go to the cemetery. You know, you see a small marble stone, and if it's been there for a few years, then you know that the earthly remains have all returned to the ground. But in your heart, you close your eyes and you walk through various things thinking of the person that's lying there. In the same way, if we take the bread and the wine in our hands, it's only bread and it's only wine, but into our mind comes the one who died for you, for me. We individually can see he died for me. By his stripes, we are healed. He who knew no sin, he who the world would not accept and who took his precious body, not in the light of day, but under cover of darkness, and they beat him and they scourged him and they crucified him. That's what this little bit of bread reminds us of, as the Isaiah passage tells us. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah! Praise his holy name. That's what the bread should remind us of. And when we take the wine, it's only ever wine. But it reminds us of a garden where Jesus in his agony prayed, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling on the ground for you, for me. That glass of wine reminds us of a mob who took him and gave him a trial. Sometime, sit down and read through Mark's Gospel, account of the last hours in the life of Christ. And as you do, note the many times of Jesus being beaten or scourged before they nailed him to the cross. We know that the robe he wore was in one piece when they crucified him. So each time they went to beat him, they would remove his robe and then put it on again when he was finished. And each time if he bled, each time it would congeal to the cloth. Can you begin to imagine what he felt when they took it off the next time to beat him? The pain of just removing that before they started again. I'm not saying that to make you feel sick, but I want us to realize the next time we take this tiny little glass of wine in our hand, just how much it cost our Lord, our Jesus. That's why it has to be precious to us. There's another reason why the position of the Lord's Supper is in difficult times. We receive in proportion to what we give out. But this is not an age of faith. It's an age of questioning, reason, rational thinkings. From its very inception, the Lord's Supper cannot be for the spiritual child. It has to be for the spiritual adult, the mature Christian, the committed Christian. But the 21st century is an age of inquiry rather than commitment. Therefore, there are fewer people who bring to the sacrament what is demanded of us, the occasion of thanksgiving. After all has been said, how could we each praise such a solemn feast? Why? Because the cross is bare, the tomb is empty, because Christ is risen, Jesus is with the Father, and one day will return and stand on the Mount of Olives. This same Jesus whom you saw will and likewise stand one day. The man, the woman, who is condemned is the one who will not discern that we as Christians, the Church of Christ, are the body of Christ. And we must be in unity as we come to this holy table. Paul's whole point is to dare to partake in the meal divided is nothing short of blasphemy. See, this is not a private party. It's a gathering of guests invited by the living Christ. We know that Christ is with us all the time, wherever we are. But friends, surely, as we gather round this table, here, O my Lord, I see you face to face with the memory, the realization, which has to end in a personal encounter because we're compelled to become aware of Christ there. If you have followed all that's been said today, no experience such as I've described can end in anything other than a renewed pledge to the one we encounter face to face. And all because we took in our hand a little piece of bread and we drank a little glass of wine. It must surely be impossible to leave here without a deeper personal devotion to the one we met here, our Lord, our Saviour, the living Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto him who loved us, who washed us from our sin in his own blood, who made us priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this quiet place and for the words which you give to us. Help them to dwell deeply in our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Our offering will now be uplifted. We continue our worship by joining together in Mission Praise 536. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
On a hill far away.
Thank you.
much I will render unto the Lord for all his benefit towards us. We'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. We will pay our vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who trust in him. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, Father of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, we, your children, gather before your holy table, and as we do, we pray for your church, that she would be holy, universal, and apostolic. We pray for this parish and this congregation, that you would be pleased to pour your spirit on each head bowed here. We pray for our loved ones, whether at home or absent from us, that your presence may be with them to strengthen and support them, to bless them and keep them. We thank you, Lord, for all your saints, having in this life witnessed a good confession to your saving power, have left their example to shine before us. We remember especially those loved by us who believe are with you now. We ask you to enable each one of us to follow the example of Christ and so run with patience the race that is set before us in the sure and certain knowledge that one day we will look and behold your lovely face. Amen. I'm now going to say together the Apostles' Creed. Could I ask those who are able to stand, please be upstanding. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those to come to me shall never be hungry, and those who believe on me shall never thirst. Those who come to me I will in no wise cast out. Beloved in the Lord, let's listen to the words of Paul. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and he said, Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after he had supped, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat the bread and drink the cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, let us follow his blessed example in word and in action, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set aside from all common use, to this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and present to him our prayers and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have prepared for them who love you such good things as pass man's understanding. Pour into each of our hearts a love for you today and every day, that loving you as we are able, we may know the length, the depth, and the height of your love. Almighty our God, we ask you humbly to empower us to live no longer to ourselves, but unto him who died and who rose again. And because at best we cannot praise you worthily, we all ask you, Almighty God, that the offering of your only Son, made once for all upon the cross, be accepted on all our behalf for all our sin. Almighty and everlasting Lord, who created the heaven and earth and all that is therein, who made man in your own image, and whose tender mercies are over all your heavenly works, you we magnify and praise with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We worship and adore your glorious name, ever saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Dear Lord, not as we ought, but as we are able, do we bless you for his holy incarnation, his perfect life on earth, his precious suffering and death upon the cross, for his glorious resurrection and ascension, for his continued intercession and rule at your right hand, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. That the bread which we break be the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless, the communion of the body and blood of Christ, and that we, partaking of them, may be partakers of his body and blood, with all the benefits to our spiritual nourishment and growth in grace, to the glory of your Most High. Amen. This is the Lord's table, and the Lord invites you to share this joyful feast. From the east and west, from the north and south, people will come and take their place at the banquet of the King of God. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The body of Christ broken for you. After the same manner also he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink in remembrance of me, the blood of Christ shed for you. I'm better not being there. Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. Our closing hymn is, Too Soon We Rise, the Symbols Disappear. Can I just explain what I'd like we're going to do is, we're going to sing that hymn, and then we'll be remain standing, and there's a blessing at the end. May God's blessing surround you each day. So we'll sing the hymn, we'll remain standing, and we're going to look round and sing, May God's blessing surround you, to the people round about us as well. Just blessing each of us as we go. So, too soon we rise, the symbols disappear, the feast, though not the love, is past and gone.
Thank you.
now, my dear friends, may you go from this house in the sure and certain knowledge of the love of Christ Jesus. May he uplift you when you grow weary. May he support you when you grow tired. May he be forever near you all the days of your life. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you've loved, now and forevermore.